Joining me now is Karen Kingston. Karen, welcome to the broadcast. Wow, were you listening to that, Karen?
I was, yeah. No surprise.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's obvious that we've been in a war for a long time, and our intelligence community, Pentagon, military have been conspiring with the deep state. So, actually, two things before I go to our topic is, I don't know if you saw the Gateway Pundit put out a article today saying that children 2 to 3 years of age are now suffering from seizures that have been vaccinated. And, you know, we covered that on your show last week or 2 weeks ago, where it states clearly in the phase three data, more than a half dozen, I think about 12 children suffered from not just seizures, but permanent brain injury. So regardless of that coverage, parents are still moving forward with injecting their children with this bioweapon. And then Uruguay is suing BioNTech to release the ingredients, including graphene oxide and lipid nanoparticles, in the next 48 hours. So that's good news. But one thing I want to talk about is the way that this has been so successful, and all attacks on America have been so successful, is if you read any of the documents, whether it's the Nuclear Threat Initiative, whether it's the World Economic Forum, whether it's our own cybersecurity division, the one thing that everyone agrees upon is that they cannot agree upon who is responsible for these crimes against humanity. So if our U.S. financial system collapsed overnight, you will find cybersecurity experts saying it's impossible to identify who hacked the financial system. You will find from NTI, if there's a monkeypox outbreak, it's impossible to determine where that virus came from. When Wuhan, the Wuhan virus came out of Wuhan in collaboration with working with the U.S. military, it was predetermined that it's impossible to determine, you know, where this came from. So the lack of attribution, which means who done it, is key to the success of the deep state. So I'm about to start naming names. And when I told people I was going to do this, I got news articles on Brandi Vaughan. So you're looking at a dead woman walking. I've already been hit. I want to go on record about that. Going to see my fourth doctor tomorrow. Currently,
so
I have.
So, are you telling me
that are coming out through my skin? It's very painful.
Wait! You broke up. What was it? What'd you just say?
I've already been hit. I'll explain to you with this nanotechnology. I've been hit. I'm going to see my fourth doctor tomorrow. So the last 2 months, I've been going through a series of treatments. I literally have metal coming out through my body. There's a doctor that has all of my images and stuff, pictures of my medical records, because I want to go on record that this happened.
So you have had a, are you telling me you believe you've had a bio attack against you because of all you've been revealing?
I know I have. I have images of the nanotechnology coming out of my body. I've got spike protein in certain areas. Praise God, my brain was not hit.
When do you think this happened?
I don't want to go into all the details, but it started last year.
And how do you think you get hit? How does someone get hit? How do you think this happens?
So what happened with me, I believe, was this last round, because it was so severe, was that someone probably at an event offered to pray with me, and they can do a transdermal weapon. So it's called a tick. So they just put it on your skin and you're injected with the nanotech.
So they're like, let me pray for you. And they lay their hands on you, and they've got some patch, the patch that the skin, what's touching them is fine. It's like the double stick tape. It's the side that's going to touch you that's the problem.
Yeah. This technology, I mean, Bill Gates funded it, right? It uses like 1,000 viper fangs to inoculate you.
All right, so we're going to ask our audience, obviously, to pray for you. Keep us posted. We know you've been sick. I know you really didn't even want to come on tonight's show, and I kind of pushed you.
Yeah, so let's just go to the – so James Giordano is who we're going to talk about.
Yep,
so just
go
to the slide real quick, and then we'll go to the video.
Okay.
I want you to hear his mouth from his mouth. So he is a professor of neuroethics. That's an oxymoron at Georgetown University in brain and biosciences. He works closely with our military. I'm going to show you the tape where he says he works with the intelligence community and the military, and he'll explain. Yeah, you can go on the next slide.
Does Logan have that?
Have what?
The video. Do you have a video you want to play too, you said?
Yeah, there should be a link in the same link that has the slides in it.
Okay.
Do you want me to drop it to him right now?
Yeah, no, I can click it. You want to just click on something? Which one?
Yeah, well, just real quick, I want to go on record for a couple of things too. So MIT published this article in February of 2016, and they released a document where James Clapper, the former National Security Advisor, I believe under the Clinton administration, said that gene editing technology, you know, so this is mRNA technology, is a bioweapon and should be classified as such. Specifically, in this article, they talk about CRISPR-Cas9. At the University of Pittsburgh, the scientist said, what we love about the mRNA vaccines is it's CRISPR-Cas9 in an injection. So if you go on to the next slide, the reason why James Clapper said that this should be considered a bioweapon is because of the dual use of technology. So you can have private actors using to weaponize it, you know, while allegedly our government was using it to research, you know, it's a bioweapon, but whatever, I guess, to figure out how to inhibit attacks. It's really important to note that it could be used, CRISPR-Cas9, to create killer mosquitoes. Another thing from the Gateway Pundit today is, oh, there's an increase in rare, you know, viruses now that are being spread by mosquitoes across the globe. I wonder why. This is being made by our Pentagon or intelligence community.
Something that we reported on months ago here.
Yeah, again. They also talk about in this article, again, this is insider Pentagon papers, that biotechnology, more than any domain, has greater potential for human good, but also has a possibility to be misused. They're worried about people developing some sort of pathogen, SARS-CoV-2 or other pathogen, with robust capabilities, but we're concerned about the chance of misutilization. We could have an accident occur where gene editing that is catastrophic, since the genome is the very essence of life. So he's saying, look, you're playing God, and this could result in more destruction to humanity than a nuclear threat, which it has. So now let's just go to the videotapes of James Giordano. As I said, he is a professor of neuroethics at Georgetown University. If the first clip is at 1440, where he states he works with the intelligence community in Pentagon. I just want to tee that up.
Okay, and so where do I get these clips? Did you send them to me?
It's in the email I sent with the slides. It's right there.
Okay, it's in the email you sent with the slides. All right,
yeah.
Then I'll have it right here. Hang on. Okay, at what point do you want to click the 1440 mark?
Go to the 1440 mark.
Okay. Are you guys going to have the audio of me, or do I just need to send this to you, Logan?
I can send it to Logan.
Yeah, I'm just going to forward this to you, Logan, because I'm not plugged in with audio tonight. Let's see, Logan. What's your last name, Logan? All right, I got it. All right, so Logan's got that. Let me know when you're ready with that, Logan. And
So go to the 1440 to 1526.
Okay, and the timestamps are in that email, Logan.
Yeah. Then skip the 3059, because I can just, and then go to 1440 to 1526, and then 3548.
Okay, so starting at 1440, let me know when you're ready. Yeah. Okay, almost there.
Yeah, so James Giordano, he has 38 years experience in neuroscience. He began working with Obama in 2008 to create neural weapons. He talks about not just the use of gene editing technologies and nanotech to hijack leaders and individuals. Mm-hmm. He talks about also strategic warfare. So how you can have an actor, which could be a political leader or a military leader, they can use nanotechnology, put it on the rim of a glass. That nanotechnology is programmed to hijack their brain, and then that they can actually work to actually create mood swings in that individual, to make that individual more passive or more aggressive towards our ideas, to make a person actually look insane so that a community loses a leader. He also talks about, you know, President Lincoln famously quoting the Buddha, saying, making my enemy my friend, right, is better than having an enemy, right, and having a happy or compliant battlefield. So he talks about the use of putting in influential leaders in certain communities to make individuals or nations more amenable, more open to the idea of what they want to accomplish, to avoid confrontation. These individuals are cowards. They have no integrity. They have no honor. They are lying to the American people and global population to manipulate them, to trust them, and then they're harming them, and they're lying about it the whole time.
Here's
they do
clip.
Not want to
be. Yeah, we got the clip. Here we go.
Okay, let's go.
Neuromarketing, understanding how brains work to do the things that minds do, then allows us to better understand how to affect psychological interactions with various groups of people so as to be able to engage certain brain reactions that affect their bodily behaviors. That's a nice way of saying I can affect minds to affect hearts. Yes, the neuromarketing community has done a wonderful job in that, but that has not gone beyond the pale of understanding how neuroscience and technology and the information we know about brains and what they do may also be of key value to the intelligence area, as well as psychological operations. some of the ongoing work we've been doing with the Strategic Multi-Level Assessment Group at Pentagon has focused upon this exclusively over the past 8 years in a series of white papers, and I'll provide those references to you at the end of this lecture, and certainly they're available to you in the note pack.
Okay, so Logan can go to 1348, but he just stated he works with the intelligence community and the Pentagon to control minds using neuroweapons, as well as to actually execute psyops using media and social media. Okay. I have his paper on that as well. Is this shocking to anybody? His name is James Giordano.
Wow.
This is confessing to a psyop.
Yeah. Next one, Logan. 1348. Yep.
3548. And pause at 3612 and then start it up again, but pause because, Brandon, I want your response to what he says in between 3548 and 3612.
Okay.
I'm interviewing you now.
Could spin? Yes, absolutely. Moreover, you heard earlier about the idea of nanoparticulate matter that can be utilized in a weaponizable way. And here, too, we're looking very, very strongly at what nanoparticulate matter can do to the nervous system. Some ongoing studies with our colleagues in the medical branches of NATO have, in fact, shown that the use of nanoparticulate matter in a scatter arrangement can be used to incur what looks to be broad-scale epidemiological stroke epidemics. So what we're able to do here is infiltrate...
You mean like all the people that are healthy dying in their sleep?
The strokes, the blood clotting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just play another minute. And he says nanoparticulate. He can create a nano cloud. There's a speech of him talking to the Modern War Institute of West Point, where he explains how he can create a nanoparticle cloud to inoculate people with nanotechnology and bioweapons. But keep going. But so this is the strokes, is the nanotechnology is causing the blood clotting strokes. Strokes aren't an epidemic. They're not contagious. This has always been an attack. What happened in China? There are 32,000 people hospitalized in Hong Kong. Not one case of human-to-human transmission. Wuhan, not one case of human-to-human transmission. I bet in Italy, not one case of human-to-human transmission. This was an aerosolized attack. He just explained it to it. And the primary result is blood clots, heart attacks, and strokes.
Create nanotech cloud.
Yeah, to create epidemic strokes.
And by cloud, is that what he means? Like an aerosol, you think?
It's the aerosolized. That's what we talked about. Yeah, it's aerosolized.
And you and I have talked about this for how many months? This idea of aerosol, making this in an aerosol, right?
Since last summer.
Yeah, since last summer, a year, just a year. Okay, next clip at what? Next clip at what, 3107? 3701, I mean?
Yeah, next one stop at 3701.
All right, keep going, Logan. Yep, just keep going. Yes, keep going where you're at. Yep.
The brain space with nanoparticulate matter that aggregates in situ, on site in the brain. And there's one of two things. Either penetrates from the vascular space, gets in through the bloodstream, gets in through the nose, through the mucosa, or infiltrates the vascular space and clogs it. What is the result? What's called a nanoparticulate stroke or a hemorrhagic diathesis, fancy word, for it's a predisposition to individuals having brain bleeds. Demonstrated? Oh, absolutely. We're able to show animal models of same, and the Italian group has done a fair amount of work demonstrating that nanoparticulate matter can be highly disruptive, not only of brain vascularity, but brain function. You may not necessarily incur a stroke, but you're going to begin to disrupt the network properties of the brain, and as a result, engage something more of a long wars effect through the use of these types of matters, where you now begin to influence the population in increasingly concentric circles of expansion.
Okay. So who is he speaking to again?
He's speaking at Georgetown University, I believe, to the ROTC students there.
And what? Remind our audience who he is.
He's the professor of neuroethics at Georgetown University, an advisor to the intelligence community and Pentagon, as he just said himself at the beginning of the video.
And let's not forget how many years I've been telling this audience and on my radio show and my other TV shows, Georgetown University is a Jesuit university. Their logo is an eagle with the world in one talent, the cross in the other, of the two, one. They are a Jesuit. Where did the CIA learn their deal? History seems to show us the CIA learned what they do and how they do it through watching the Jesuits. What did Hitler say? He wanted to model like the Jesuits. Cecil Rhodes, who created Rhodes Scholarship for World Government, say? Model like the Jesuits. And what did, where did Malachi Martin, the Jesuit who left and began to write books exposing this, many of them we've talked about, what did he say was going to happen? That they would put in liberal communist priest who eventually would elect a communist Marxist pope, and the Jesuit popes, and the Jesuit pope, and the Jesuits, and the Marxists, and the Masons. He said, this is who's going to take down the globe for world order. A former Jesuit, Malachi Martin. Where's this guy at? Jesuit University, George Washington University. And he counsels the Pentagon, which I think today is controlled by the CIA.
But he's also a self-proclaimed Jesuit.
What?
Mm-hmm. So, but what's important about what he said is we know the inoculations can cause, the bioweapon injections can cause stroke. What you're going to start see happening, I've had many strokes. You're going to see happening is there's going to be aerosol spray down so that they want other people, young, healthy people such as myself, to suffer from strokes and heart attacks and children so they can say, look, it's happening in the unvaccinated as well.
Now, I have not revealed this on the air, but since you're doing it, I'm going to. I don't know that I've had many strokes, but a doctor that I consulted with told me that when I got COVID the first time, so severe, sicker than my wife has ever seen us in our 30-year marriage at the time, I couldn't remember people I had met 2 days earlier and talked to for 15 minutes. I could remember stuff to come on the air. I could come on the air, talk about all the old history and everything, no problem. Meet someone 2 days later, I wouldn't remember having met them. I couldn't remember. My family thought I was beginning to have the signs of Alzheimer's, a dementia. At 51 years old or whatever that was in 2020 that I got so sick. Now, my doctor I consulted with said, and I have not, quote, been to the doctor, but I, quote, I consulted personally with a doctor who has seen many such patients. And so I went to dinner with him and I consulted with him and he said, these are all the symptoms I've seen of many bleeds, many brain bleeds in COVID patients who got it very severely. He said, don't worry, it will heal over time. And it did. So it didn't bother me for radio TV because I'm dealing with my topic that's old school. I know what I'm talking about. It's the simple things, who I'm meeting someone, forgetting. I mean, they didn't seem like simple things at the time. Then I got so sick, the second time I had it earlier this year, I got, and this it's on video, Logan has it, that when we were filming one day, I could not complete sentences and I could not get words right. And it was, he was afraid I was having a stroke and it's all on video. It took time over the course of several weeks, it repaired it. And thankfully it didn't happen on the air, but he has the video of it happening where I'm literally trying to read something that was put in front of me in a teleprompter and I could not finish the sentence. I could not even use the correct word when trying to ask him a question and you would swear I'm having a stroke. But it like I said, over the course of a few weeks, it finally passed. But I never had such an episode. But my family has seen it, and they actually have one of them on video. So I can concur with the idea of the little brain bleeds. Now, I have not had the COVID shot, but I'm also –
I have not had the shot at all, not by volition, not by my own choice. Yeah.
But you could have the COVID, and the spike proteins in the COVID could still cause this reaction. To me, for what what I'm explaining.
The nanotech could have been put on a glass of yours or something too. Right? The fomite transmission could have been put on a package. This needs to be shut down. Let's go back to the video because I know we're running out of time and I think people want to see what James Giordano has to say.
All right.
Just continue playing the video till we run out of time, I guess.
All right, go to the next one if you don't mind, Logan.
Moreover, you heard earlier, and I'm not going to beleaguer the point of the idea of neurosensory devices and a whole host of trans and intracranial pulse stimulators. And of course, these can be used for a variety of things with key individuals. Once again, particularly when it comes to trans and intracranial devices, I'm not looking for this to be weapons of mass use. I'm looking to target key individuals who may then be influential to relative aspects of their representative groups. I can affect individuals' brain functions in a variety of different ways, both positively and negatively, by engaging or disengaging nodes and networks of the brain that therefore affect their cognitions, emotions, and ultimately their behaviors. Moreover, by understanding the way the brain works as nodes and networks and not as key sites that are doing any particular thing, I can also utilize various forms of electromagnetic radiation and energy to be able to disrupt brain function. The brain is an electromagnetic organ, and like any other electromagnetic substance, the integrity of those networks is reliant upon the electromagnetic pulses that flow in between them. Utilizing electromagnetic sensory and disruptive devices in this way, with ever greater fidelity and with ever greater granularity, can be used as not only an organ against individuals, but against groups. And in fact, this is some of the work that we've seen that has been conducted previously in what was the Soviet Union, now Russia, and also China is looking very, very deeply into what electromagnetic pulse generation can do to the brain with regard to treating diseases and also incurring certain disease states in individuals who may then be susceptible, who may be exposed to such pulses.
Can I stop right there for 1 second? Let me stop right there. Electromagnetic field-induced mental illness thoughts and ideas. Just off the cuff, correct me if I'm wrong. 5G come into play, add this to this, and make people kind of woo?
Yeah, it can make people bipolar. It can make them severely depressed, suicidal. It can make them manic. It can induce anger. So, yeah, so what he said is the brain is already an electromagnetic field. By adding nanotechnology, you know, aerosolized or injected into the body, it's targeted to the brain. And then that can enhance the receptivity.
Did we get to 3330 where he, to 3330 Logan, to 3602 can take a benign bug using gene editing technology, cause pathogen neurological effects, cardiovascular disease, blood clots. I can take ownership and tell the public population to be very afraid.
That's in the next video. That's the link at the bottom. So I just kind of messed. So you have to go to the next video.
Go to the next link.
At the bottom.
He says by the time we get it downloaded, we'll be out of time. Let me do this. Let me have you back on tomorrow night if you think you can do it.
I can.
I can have Dan Cox on, who's ran for governor, I think, in Maryland, at 7:30. We'll have Carrie Madej recording next, then you to the end of the show. Tomorrow night, part two?
Yeah, and I have his studies, too. So James Giordano's studies. But, you know, Pray for America.
Absolutely. And pray for Karen.
Then people need to be held to account. I don't, enough with this, you know, we can't blame people. We can't point fingers.
Absolutely. Well, I just wrote all that down. So that's our schedule tomorrow night. Thank you, Karen. My fight, go to KarenKingston.net, KarenKingston.net. You can support it through givesendgo.com/myfight.
Folks, no, it's Slash Kingston now.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Slash all right, Kingston. And folks, notice tonight we've not really stopped to promote anything, but we need your support. That's all I can tell you. Please, WVWFoundation.com is my website. WVWFoundation.com to make a contribution. MyPillow.com, use promo code B66. We need your support. Take care.